Well, good evening, everyone. I was referred to as an expert earlier, but that's definitely not the case. I was told to talk about the history of Halloween, so I did some research, and I'll share what I found. I'm definitely not an expert. You guys could all find what I found on the internet and other sources fairly easily, but anyway, this is mostly just, it's as factual as it gets as far as what we know about Halloween. There are a lot of different opinions about exactly how it came about, but they all generally agree about what I'm saying, although there's different versions, so it might be different than what you remember hearing or you will hear in the future, but here's one version of it. So Halloween started, or it wasn't Halloween back then, it was called Samhain. About 2,000 to 2,400 years ago in Europe, Great Britain, Ireland, that area, a people group called the Celts. The Celts were a real broad people group. They would include several nations probably. Celt is more of a term given to a group of people that spoke kind of roughly the same language. So the first known celebrations of Samhain began around 2,000 years ago, around the time of Jesus, actually. And for these people, life was really hard. They were an agricultural people. They depended on cattle and crops to survive. And they were polytheistic, so they believed in many gods. They were very superstitious. This is where the Druids came from. If you remember hearing about Druids, the Druids belonged to this group of people. They would act as priests to their gods. And most often, the Druids were seen as magical or powerful just because they knew more. They were more knowledgeable. They could read, some of them. They knew how to do certain things that normal people couldn't do back then. And so it made them seem like they were really powerful. Anyway, so during the coming of winter could sometimes signify death for these people. So the time between summer and winter, especially on specifically November 1st, with Samhain, they believed that the barrier between the spirit world and the natural world would be broken down or didn't exist. It would go away for that one day. And spirits and demons and ghosts and souls could wander into our world and we could wander out of our world during that time. And they were very fearful. These otherworldly creatures would come and cause mischief for them, supposedly, destroy crops, and cause trouble. So what they would do when they would celebrate Samhain was the Druids would build a huge bonfire, and the people would gather around and burn sacrifices to their gods for protection. They would burn, I think in some cases, the worst case scenarios, they even burned humans a few times. But mostly it was just crops and cattle they would burn as sacrifices. They wore costumes of animal skins and animal heads to disguise themselves from the roaming spirits and demons so that they wouldn't know who they were. And then during this time, the Druids supposedly could predict the future better because of the presence of these paranormal beings. And for a people dependent purely on the natural world, if their harvest wasn't good that year, they were going into winter not knowing who was going to die. Most likely, maybe half of them would die. You know, it was a scary time for them, and so they would cling to these, what these Druids would say about the future, and often that's the only comfort they had through the long winter months. Anyway, that's how it kind of got its start. So they would celebrate this thing. It was very pagan. It was built on fear and darkness and They kept on celebrating this. I think it was fairly consistent. And the Romans had a similar holiday called, they had a day in fall that they observed for one of their goddesses of fruit and trees called Pomona. And the sign of Pomona was an apple. And this is kind of where apple bobbing came about and all of that thing. If they would hang an apple from a branch, and the first person to bite into the apple would supposedly be married next. Anyway, when the Romans conquered the Celts, the two kind of morphed. And so Samhain changed a little bit during that time. And then the church came along in 400 A.D., between 400 and 600 A.D., is when they really had a big influence on Samhain, and they created a day called All Saints' Day. And this is where some of the confusion comes in. This is where people say that Halloween was a Christian holiday to start off with. And I guess you could say that Halloween, if you use the word Halloween, it was started by the Catholic Church or the Christians during that time. But they purposely made All Saints' Day on the same day as Samhain to get rid of Samhain, to try to make the natives celebrate All Saints' Day, which was a day to celebrate all the saints who had died previously, especially those who didn't have a day for them specifically set aside already. So the church had tried unsuccessfully for a long time to get rid of this day, Samhain, because it was clearly a celebration of evil things. And so they weren't successful, so they tried this. They created All Saints' Day. It didn't really change a whole lot. It did change it a little bit, probably for the better, but it was it probably had a little bit less of a dark focus, less fearful. But it just kind of morphed. They just kind of morphed together again, merged together. And it was called All Hallows Day back then. And then through time, they would start, the day before All Hallows Day was Hallows Evening, or that evening was Hallows Evening. And then it got shortened to Hallows-een, and then eventually Halloween. That's where we get the word Halloween from. The Catholic Church was kind of heavily involved with Halloween ever since. In England, this is maybe where the practice of trick-or-treating came from. No one really can tie it specifically to this, but they had this thing, they would go a-souling, it was called. And what they would do is the beggars and the poor people would go from house to house asking for soul cakes, they were called. They were little cakes with a cross painted on them. And people would give them out. In return, the beggars would hopefully pray for their loved ones or family members who were in purgatory. So that was a very Catholic influence on Halloween. Now, you can't specifically tie that to trick-or-treating, but that's just something that did happen in the past. One thing I should mention, too, is in 1606, this is kind of an interesting story I found. It had some influence on Halloween, but people were kind of scared to tie it a lot to Halloween, too. On November 5th, 1606, a guy named Guy Hawkes was apprehended for trying to blow up Parliament. He and five other of his friends had rented a room or a cellar underneath the Parliament building in Great Britain. And their goal was to blow up Parliament and put a Catholic king in place. There was a non-Catholic king in place, and they were upset about this. So they stockpiled gunpowder underneath there in this cellar. And it was the day they were planning to blow up Parliament, they were apprehended, and Guy Fawkes was the one that was guarding all the gunpowder, and he was captured pretty much and tortured until he gave up the rest of his friends. And so now in England, still today, on November 5th, there's it's kind of a celebration. They build bonfires, and the children during that time, right after this, would go guising, they called it. They would just dress up in guises, costumes, and just kind of make fun of the whole thing. It was just kind of a fun time. And so November 5th being really close to Halloween, they kind of, especially when it came across to America, the two could have been involved with each other, especially with the bonfire. Sometimes they would burn a fake effigy of Guy Fawkes just to make more fun of him. I don't know why they would do all that, but that's something that happened. And then it came to America, Halloween. It actually almost completely got wiped out. The Puritans and the Protestant settlers that came to America didn't want anything to do with Halloween, or not a lot to do with Halloween, and they were almost successful in completely wiping out Halloween, or the practice of it, in America. And then in the mid-1800s, the Irish had a potato famine in Ireland, and a mass of, they say 2 million to maybe more than that, Irish settlers came to the New World, or America, and they brought with them the celebration of Halloween. And in the 1920s and 1930s, vandalism and crime became a major problem over Halloween. It was kind of a, Halloween just, from 1920 on in America, has always been celebrated, except for 1942 and 1943 because of World War II. And then ever since 1920, it's just has kind of grown. People have added little things here and there. In 1945, I think, was the first time that the word trick-or-treat was used. In 1950, it officially became commercialized with the mass production of costumes and guises. And today it has grown to a $6.9 billion business every year. So it's the second biggest holiday in America next to Christmas. Horror movies, haunted houses, trick-or-treating, costumes, these are all parts of Halloween in America. And people would generally agree that there's no perfect or there's no correct way to celebrate Halloween. It's just all of those things. And then there's one other little story. It's more myth than a story about how the jack-o'-lantern came about. It found it interesting. The story is definitely not true, but if you're superstitious, I guess it could be. Or if you're, I guess we're all superstitious, but if you, it didn't happen, I'll say that. There was this guy named Jack in Ireland, and he went out for a drink with the devil one time, and he found that he didn't have enough money to pay for his drink, so the devil turned himself into a coin. But Jack decided not to pay for it and decided to put the coin in his pocket, and it happened to touch a cross that he also had in his pocket and kept. And so the devil turned into a coin, was touching the cross. He couldn't turn himself back into the devil. He was just stuck as a coin. So they made a deal. Jack made the devil promise him that he wouldn't bother him for a year, and he let him go. Then later on, the devil came back to bother Jack, and I forget the details now. That's too bad. But anyway, somehow, the devil ended up in the tree. Jack tricked him again. Jack cut a cross in the tree, carved a cross in the bottom of the tree. The devil couldn't come down because there's a cross on the tree. And basically, he made a deal that time that he made the devil promise him that he would leave him alone forever. Well, when Jack died, he wasn't good enough to get into heaven, and the devil couldn't take him, so the devil gave him an ember or a coal from hell, and he put it into a pumpkin, or a turnip, actually. It changed to a pumpkin in America, but a turnip, and he's been wandering between heaven and hell ever since. So that's just a story about the jack-o'-lantern that I thought was interesting. It's, yeah, it's just a folklore, but anyway, I thought it was interesting. Anyway, to conclude, I'm not going to cross into what Jordan wants to talk about at all, but Halloween started because of people's fear, and has always been a play on people's fear ever since. It's been a celebration of darkness and the devil in some cases, although I believe that most Americans today celebrating Halloween are not worshiping the devil and are, for the most part, innocent. Although, whether you're making light of those things or not, I would question the reasoning behind that. But anyway, so it is as a play on fear, whether you want fear as a thrill, just get a high on fear with a haunted house or going to Scarywood or something like that, or else you genuinely worship fear, which I believe that does happen today. It is sobering. You hear stories of things that happen on Halloween night that are they're scary. I'm not going to mention any of those stories just because I don't want to play into the whole fear. But things do happen. But I would like to close by reading 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So that's all I had. I'll turn the rest of the time over to Jordan.